Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon, I'm Chua Tien Tien with your Market View. On today's agenda, investments into food sustainability and alternative protein companies. Now, these companies have gained increased attention from investors these days as the world races to find ways to feed a growing population. And for one thing, plant-based companies raised more than $741 million in the first 3 months of 2020 alone. But how do VC investors identify which startups to invest in? What are the key trends in the food sustainability scene? And how can we as retail investors also hop on the bandwagon? Well, for more, I speak to Yip Hong Wan. He's an investor in sustainability and alternative protein and has over 30 years of investments, operations, and board-level experience with private equity funds, family offices, and startups. Hi, Hong Man.
Hi, Tian Tian.
Hi, Hong Man. To get us started, what are the market trends and also investment themes in food sustainability right now?
Well, despite the inflation in Europe, oat milk in Germany cost less than whole milk, and plant-based meat in the Netherlands now costs less than animal meat. These are something that is really, really unexpected. And also in a recent report published just last month by the Boston Consulting Group, VC investment in alternative proteins rose from $1 billion in 2019 to $5 billion in 2021. Many of the traditional food companies are investing in alternative proteins, and regulators around the world are facilitating progress in getting approval done for de novo foods. And finally, one very important point is that the surveys in that same report shows that consumers have expressed strong willingness to shift their consumption patterns if key inhibitions like health and nutrition, taste and safety are addressed. So all these trends are actually very healthy signs for the food sustainability industry.
Hong Man, thinking about alternative proteins, many would think along the likes of Impossible Foods, Beyond and all of that. But I understand there are way more startups in this field. So how vibrant is the alternative protein scene really?
Well, you're correct. So more startups have since emerged during these times. And these startups specifically focusing on addressing the gaps in taste and in price. I just ended a trip to UK and the US, and I'm very impressed with the sophistication and innovation these startups offer. So let me give you a few examples. So one, looking at Burger 2.0, I met two startups in the Bay Area whose sole purpose is to make a burger cheaper and taste better, but without GMO or genetically modifying an organism or heavily processing the plant protein to mask the taste of the ingredients that they use, because consumers have expressed concerns on GMO and ultra-processing product. And then I've also got a chance to taste plant-based sushi. And I've tasted a plant-based sushi made out of entirely mushroom using the traditional fermentation. And it has the bite and the texture of a real sushi. I wish the audience can see this, but I sent you a video and you could take a look at that.
It really looks like raw sushi. very nice, good sashimi.
And they're just a startup. They haven't even raised their first Series A round, and they could not make enough for their client. And then the other category is something new called hybrid product. So this is the most promising of the lot, where cell-based fat is added into plant-based meat to produce an end product that's almost indistinguishable to the traditional meat products, especially in areas like sausage, meatballs, and bacon. And the good news is that US FDA approval is expected by the end of this year. So, and then if you zoom out, you will also notice that the alternative protein ecosystem has expanded quite a bit. New players such as contract manufacturers and cell line providers are already entering this the scene. The entry of these players is an indication that commercialization and scaling has started. This is another healthy milestone for the industry.
And I do want to focus a little bit more about who are the people who are investing in the industry and what is the status of most startup companies? Which round of funding are they in right now?
It's actually quite divided. You have the pioneers that started earlier, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Companies like Avery, which used to be known as Clara Foods, and then you have Eat Just, which is known for plant-based eggs. They are more in the mid to late stage. They are beginning to scale, building big fermenters or working with contract manufacturers so that they could commercialize them and bring down the price. And then you have the innovators that is coming to the scene, like cell-based fat, cell lines companies. They are in the early stage, perhaps in Series A or Series B. And then we're also beginning, when it first started, it was more of high net worth individual who are purpose-driven and family offices who wants to, who has a long-term view in investing in sustainable food. But more and more, we're beginning to see big VCs and large PE funds, very famously Temasek Holdings, McWins, and so on. They are into this scene. So these are the investors.
And Hongwan, I understand you will also work with venture capital funds, PE funds, and family offices to identify what you call category winners, or basically startups to invest in. How do you identify which companies to put the money in?
Yeah, a very good question. I mean, my situation is a bit different because I've started in the food tech sector quite early. I founded my own startup. I invested in dozens of companies, and then also sat on advisory boards for many others. And so as a result, I'm actually quite blessed to be able to tap into a network of founders and incubators to uncover good startups that has the potential to be a category winner. That being said, some of the companies that are more preferred than others is we are always looking for a startup that is working to define a new category. Most of the time, they don't exist before, and ultimately become the category king or the category winner. You think about this: Facebook, Google, Amazon, Salesforce, Uber, Airbnb. So we're looking at something similar. And then for the founders, I always look for founders whether we both have chemistry. Can we add value? And can we help the founders grow? And then other criteria, like has the technology been de-risked? Are they generating revenue? Or are they beginning to scale?
If you're just tuning in, we are now speaking to Yip Hongman. He's an investor in sustainability and alternative protein, and also has over 30 years in investment, operations, and board level experience with PE funds, family offices, and startups. Hongman, do you have any examples of the startups you're investing in? Because I understand one of them is producing human milk from cells in a bioreactor. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. Yeah, that company you mentioned is called Turtle 3. And they make milk without involving a cow, and very specifically a milk ingredient called lactoferrin that promotes health gut human gut health and immunity system. I have also invested in a cell-based egg protein company and a cell-based fat companies out of the Bay Area. So maybe I give a bit of a short introduction. So that cell-based egg white company is called Avery, and they produce egg white using precision fermentation. It's actually a yeast, changing it to produce egg white protein that are biologically similar to egg white. The result of this is it can easily be used as a one-for-one replacement in cakes, cookies, bread, pasta, and protein bars, for example. And most recently, I tasted the macarons made by a very well-known French bakery in the Bay Area. And I can tell you they are amazingly good. You couldn't tell the difference. Now, there's a difference between cell-based egg white versus precision fermentation produced egg white versus the traditional plant-based egg, because traditional plant-based eggs cannot be added and substituted and use it to make cakes. So that's a difference. Then the other company that I invested in is called Mission Barns, and it is a cell-based fat company using cellular agriculture technologies. They found a low-cost way to produce animal fat efficiently, which can be added in small amount to plant-based meat. this brings it to almost indistinguishable from the animal-based sausages, meatballs, and bacons that I mentioned earlier. And it also addresses the recent pushbacks from consumer about plant-based meat being overly processed. And again, because they're trying to mimic the taste of the real meat. So these are the companies that I've invested in, among the many others.
Sounds super interesting, Ongman. But that being said, with a lot of vibrancy in this food sustainability scene, some were saying that the funding rounds have been oversubscribed. Such phenomenon has become increasingly common, especially in the cellular meat industry. Over $2 billion have been poured into the scene. Do you think that the cultivated meat industry is a bubble waiting to burst?
It could potentially be a bubble, if not for the recent VC pullback. We're beginning to see that actually end of last year. And most of the cell-based startups that have raised enough funding will last them for at least 2 to 3 years. So they shouldn't worry about this. They should do fine if they just focus on executing and delivering their milestones, especially in scaling and commercialization. I always remind investors that similar to the internet and the mobile industry, they will be boom and bust. And the journey takes a long time. So it's not just a couple of years. So take the smartphone industry as an example, right? It's hard to imagine that our lives without them today, but that smartphone actually didn't exist 30 years ago. In fact, when I first started selling the wireless the mobile phone that's made by Motorola, $3,000, what we made it thinking that it would just make a call connecting party A and B. We never would have imagined that a smartphone today actually disrupted many industry, and it becomes our constant companion and is part of our life. So it takes a long time before we won't be talking about cell-based meat, and that will be part of our life.
Since we're on the topic of outlook, right, what's the outlook for this year for plant-based meat and cellular agriculture?
I think the overall valuation has come down and will continue to adjust downwards. We will also see more consolidation, especially in the plant-based meat sector. But investment in this area will continue to grow as the category winners beginning to scale. And they will require capital to build manufacturing plants, installing bioreactors, and so on. Then the highly anticipated approval from US FDA will be a defining moment for the cell-based industry. And finally, more plant-based meat companies will roll out hybrid products, introducing cell-based technology in their products in order to address the concern about over-processing and to improve the taste and also reduces the cost of the product.
Homan, just one very quick one. You mentioned that there will be more consolidation in the scene. Why is that so?
Well, as you can see, plant-based meat companies are the one that started the wave with the IPO of Beyond Meat. And as a result, there are a lot of startups, and some of them are very good, but others are me too, rushing into the scene. Right now, with the economic downturn as well as the VC pullback, a lot of these companies will not be able to get the funding that they want. And as a result, they will have to either merge or change the business direction. So we'll see the consolidation. And also, there's only so much demand for plant-based meat. And after a while, if the industry, just like any industry, if you do not innovate fast enough and does not meet the ever-changing requirements of the consumer, you will be in some kind of a challenge situation. You either have to merge with somebody or you will either have to find a different direction to go.
And Hongman, one very last question. Most of these startups, I understand they are private companies, and I'm assuming that they have a big ticket size if you want to invest in them. But our listeners, probably retail investors, how can they invest their money in plant-based meat or alternative protein industry right now? What should they be cautious about, though?
Yeah, this is a great question. I've gone through that myself, so I don't mind sharing my personal experience. There is a couple of ways. Retail investors can invest in alternative protein funds, and there are a few out there. Or if they like a particular company, they can invest in a specific, SPV or special purpose vehicle, specifically set up for this purpose. So what should they be cautious about? I think retail investors need to be aware that investing in this space is considered a high-risk investment. The alternative protein industry is still very nascent and will take years before it is established. Now, with this in mind, if the investor invests in a fund, make sure the fund is regulated, have the proper license, and you know the fund managers well or are convinced that they have the professionalism and the track record to look after your money. And finally, I always said that is be prepared to lose all your investment if it didn't turn out the way you expect.
Thank you very much, Hong Man. That was Yip Hong Man. He's an investor in sustainability and alternative protein and has over 30 years of investment, operations, and board level experience with PE funds, family offices, and startups.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.